Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3. For I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants, and my blessing on your offspring. I obviously want to concentrate on that last part of the verse. I will pour my spirit on your descendants, and my blessing on your offspring. There can be few times in recent history in the Western world when godly parents have been more anxious for their children than the present time. And whatever one's views on baptism may be, surely no one will disagree that the one great need for our offspring is that God's blessing be upon them. And that's exactly what our text, indeed, the three passages of Scripture we read from, were speaking about. I will pour my spirit on your descendants, and my blessing on your offspring. How does one get that blessing for their children? That's a question I want to ask, and we want to come up with biblical answers. How does one get that blessing for their children? Well, first of all, we've got to realize that one cannot get a blessing from God for their children without first being blessed themselves by God. Because the blessing is conveyed through the parents' blessing. The children are blessed because the parents have first been blessed. The parents receive the blessing of God's Spirit because the parents first received the blessing of God's Spirit. The blessing is conveyed through the parents' blessing. The blessing is conveyed, we can say, through the parents' relationship with God. This blessing we want the children to have, how is it conveyed? How does God give it to them? God gives it to the children through the relationship the parents have with God. So that if the parents have no relationship with God, then there's no blessing on the children. Because it comes down from heaven through the parents' relationship with God. The blessing is conveyed through the parents' teaching and upbringing and prayers. God says, I'll bless the parents as the parents instruct the children. As the parents pray for the children. As the parents bring up the children properly in my ways. The blessing is conveyed through that exercise of the parents. That's the first thing to note. You can't get it unless the parents have first received this blessing of God. And it's conveyed through them, through their teaching, through their prayers, through their relationship with God. Second thing to note is that one cannot get this blessing by one quick, simple act in one day. Some people think, well, just get the baby baptized, and that's it all, it's done. Where do you get that in Scripture? Where do you find that in the Bible? It is wrong to think that, well, it's just one little thing you do, and then it happens. No, it's not the way of God. Just as the Christian life is not really one simple act, it's a lifestyle, it's a process, so it is with the blessing of baptism. Now, the Christian life does commence, or may commence, with one act of repentance and faith. One can put his finger on occasion, some people can put their finger on, the day they turned to God. The day they first repented of their sins. But it's not all over that day. That's the beginning of the Christian life being run. That's the commencement of the journey. It isn't the whole thing. And so it is with God's blessing on children and children's children. It isn't all on one day. It isn't simply one mere act. It is a process, and we've got to grasp and understand this. That process of being a blessing to our children takes time, and it takes tears. So many people don't realize that. They think, well, just a little quick prayer, and that's all. Listen. It is prayer, but not one little quick prayer. It's a lifetime of prayer. There's time. You can't rear a child in a day. You can begin on a certain day, but the thing is a process that lasts the rest of our lives. The same as the Christian life. It may begin with one dramatic event, but it goes on. It's a process. There's time involved, and there's tears involved. You look at a little baby, and you cannot believe there's anything wrong inside that child. What a beautiful, bubbly, smiling baby. But just wait till the months come, wait till the years develop, and you'll discover they're children of Adam and Eve. You'll discover there's a side in them, more or less, that has the same attitude, same spirit as Adam had. And all of us have. Ever since Adam took the forbidden fruit, every child born into the world has been born with a bias and a prejudice towards sin and against God. But it's not obvious until you begin to train them, until you begin to bring them up. Then you discover, I don't want to do that. I don't like that. You cannot rear a child without time being involved and without tears being involved. It's a struggle. It's a fight. It's a battle. It doesn't come naturally to any of us to walk in God's ways. So there's bound to be tears. Now, in case we get we misunderstand it and think that it is all to do with training and rearing, we have to emphasize what we need and what we're speaking about here is the blessing of God. Our text says, my spirit will be poured on them. Our text says, my blessing will be on your offspring. Well, we read in Isaiah 59, the Lord saying, it's my covenant. We read in Numbers 6, the Lord bless you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you. You see, we can go through the motions of training and reading, but without God's blessing, it's futile. And here's the point. What we need is this blessing of God on our reading of the children. But that blessing of God cannot be bought. It can't be bought with money, and it can't be bought with anything else. The blessing of God can't be bought. The blessing of God must be sought, not bought. Sought. And you say, well, how is the blessing of God sought? Isaiah 64 verse 5 tells us. It says, God will meet him who rejoices and does righteousness, who remembers him in his ways. That's the key. God blesses those who remember him in his ways. In other words, God's blessing is sought through keeping God's ways. And I always repeat this at baptism. TLP. Teach the truths, lead the life, and plead the promises. Through doing these three things, God has bound himself up to pouring his Spirit on your descendants. As you teach them the truths, as you lead the life before them, as you plead the promises, he has committed himself to pour out his blessing. As you do that, as we teach our children the truths. You see, children are not neutral. They need to be told what is right and what is wrong. They have to be told there's a thing called sin, and it is evil. It is wicked. They have to be told there's a heaven, and they have to be told there's a hell. They have to be told the truths. And if we tell them the truths in God's way, he brings his blessing. We have to tell them about salvation. We have to tell them about Jesus. Why he had to die on the cross. It wasn't an accident. It was something that had to be done. Tell them why he had to die. Tell them what the children often sing. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. Tell them about the Bible. Tell them how they've to read it. Tell them how they've to believe it. Tell them how every word is true. Teach the truths. But secondly, lead the life. God does not bless undisciplined habits. God does not bless sinful lifestyles. God does not bless careless practices. He can overrule all these things, but that's not what he blesses. And what we're seeking, is it not? Is it not his blessing we're seeking? We are to show our children, by example, how to confess our sins to God. Let them see us go into our rooms and go on our knees and confess to our children. Confess to our God, we have sinned. Let them see us also confess our faults one to another. Let them see us confess to our wives, I'm sorry I lost the rag with you there. I'm sorry I lost my temper. Let the children hear you apologize to your wife. Let the children discover you can apologize to them. Let them say, now John, I'm sorry. I should not have aggravated you. I didn't spend enough. I promised I'd read you a story last night. I didn't do it. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me, Johnny? Will you forgive Daddy what he's done wrong? Lead by example. Show them how to confess your sin one to another. Show them how to confess your sin to God. Let them see you do it. Let them see you handle a setback in life. Let them see how Dad behaves when he's made redundant. Is he bitter? Does he call his firm everything under the sun? Or does he say, now son, all these things happen in life. We have to put our trust in God. We have to wait on God till he provides another job for us. Let them see you behave properly in the setbacks and reverses we get in life. Let them see you act graciously when other people act so ungraciously and who think the world owes them a living. Show them by example how to forgive. Let them see you can forgive. You can forgive that neighbor who was so low to you. Let them see you. Let them see you being hurt and yet forgiving. Let them see you being angry and yet forgiving, going over it. Let them see you can be angry and yet love those you're angry with. Let them see it by example. Let them see you worship God consistently, not just when it's convenient. Let them see you are committed to worshipping God on his day, serving him throughout the week. Let them see it isn't just when it's convenient, but you're committed to it. Teach the truths and lead the lives. But the third thing is probably the most important. Because you can teach them the truths, you can lead the life, but what you need is the blessing of God on that instruction, on that example. And so we're to plead the promises. We're to remind God. He said he would pour his spirit on your children. He said he'd meet with those that remember him in his ways. He said it. Remind him he said it. Remind him that he said he'd be a God to our seed after us. Remind God that he said, my righteousness is to children's children. Remind him. He loves being reminded of his promises. This is the act of faith. You see, there are many good secular organizations that would say, well, you have to teach them the truth and you have to lead the life. But the Christian lays hold of a promise from heaven and asks for God's Spirit to bless his descendants. God's blessing to be us and his descendants. And he's to remind God for it. And he's to wrestle with God as Abraham did to find a promise that God has made and God will keep it. But he likes to be reminded of his promises. Now, in the passage we read in chapter 44, verse 5, says, one will say, I am the Lord's. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Another will write with his hand, the Lord's. the name and name himself by the name of Israel. Now, what is that verse saying? It's just saying, in various different ways, it's explaining various ways where one professes the Lord. And you see, profession is not baptism, is a profession where one has to be prepared to stand up and be counted. I'm a Christian. One has to be prepared to do that and say that. Be prepared to confess. One will say, I'm the Lord. Another, he'll call himself by the name of Jacob. And you see, you can see that as the church. Jacob belongs to the Lord. The church is Christ's church. Another will write his hand, the Lord's. And at the same time, name himself the name of Israel, who is the Lord's. The Lord's people. The Lord's children. And one has to be willing not only to confess the name of the Lord and stand up and be counted, but has to be willing to be different. Because Christians are different. There's no point in it. Now, they must never be awkward. They mustn't be seen as being odd and peculiar, but they must be seen as having different standards, different principles, different goals in life. And they must be ready to persevere. It's not easy. The Christian life is not easy. Let's understand that. It's a fight. That's what the Bible calls it. Fight the good fight of faith. Run the race. It begins by simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It begins by repenting of your sins. But that's the beginning of the race. That's the starting line. Then you begin running. Then you begin sweating. Then you begin struggling. But you see, by repenting and believing, you enter the race. You commence the fight. But then it continues on. Now just three final things in conclusion. God desires to bless children. God has taken the initiative. In all these passages where God said he'd bless his descendants, is there any evidence that the parents first of all went to God and said, oh, I want you to bless my descendants? No, God did it first. God made the first move. He said, I will bless them. Now, you behave in my ways. And then I'll bless you. You remind me of what I said. God desires to bless children. God has bound himself to bless offspring. But it's the offspring of those who remember him in his ways. He's already given a promise of blessing before we thought of it. But we've to plead the promise and the blessing. But God desires to do it. He wants to do it. He's made provision for it. It's something very encouraging, something very positive in an age when we're so dreading. What kind of age are our children going to live in? And so we discover, secondly, too, that along with blessings come responsibilities. There's no quick fix solution. There's no magical formula that can be repeated. There's no simple dip and it's all over. God's way involves vows, promises, public confession, and a personal lifestyle. There's no other way. God will bless our descendants through that relationship, through that behavior, through that lifestyle. And there is a blessing in it. And finally, though, all the resources, all the we require can be found in Christ, in Jesus. Jesus does not say, now, I want you to do something you can't do. He says, I want you to come to me, and I'll give you the resources to live the life. We might think of the responsibility and say, well, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can keep it up. That's why Jesus says, look, first of all, come to me. First of all, surrender your life to me. First of all, repent of your sins. Confess your sins. Come to me, and I'll give you all the resources, all you need to live a Christian lifestyle. And I'll give you the blessing. It all begins with the gospel. Come to me. I'll give you life. And from that life I give you, then you can live out your Christian behavior. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. May God, the Holy Spirit, make his word effectual to every one of us. Let's pray.